This morning, if you have your Bibles, and turn with me to 2 Peter, we want to continue our study through Peter's second letter that he wrote to the church. We're in chapter 2 this morning of 2 Peter, and we want to continue where we left off last Sunday. I'd like to read basically the whole chapter to give us context. We're going to be looking beginning at verse 15 this morning, but to give us context of what Peter is writing. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, and bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them that they had not known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But as it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. Let's just open in prayer. Father, I pray that you speak to us this morning. Lord, we live in a dangerous age. A lot of things are happening in the world. And the one place that we should come and find refuge and find truth is in your body of believers. But Father, your word tells us that the false teachers would come and be amongst us, even as they were there already during the time of Peter and John and Paul, when they wrote these letters. And they said that it was only going to grow worse in the last days. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have discerning hearts, discerning spirits, and we would compare what men would teach us with your word. For your word is true and powerful, a discerning of the hearts and intents and thoughts of men. Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us through your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, Sunday school class, it's interesting, we were in studying in Isaiah. In the chapter we were in Isaiah this morning, Israel was faced with a very difficult situation. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had sent his troops to the land of Judah. At that time, Israel had been divided into two countries, Israel in the northern half, Judah in the southern half. He had already conquered Israel 2 years prior to him sending this vast array of troops to conquer Judah, the southern half. He had already conquered the outlying communities, and now he was laying siege to Jerusalem. And it appeared there was no hope. One of the things that God did is he began to work in the heart of the people. Had God abandoned Israel to the Assyrians? No, the problem was Israel had abandoned God, which resulted in the Assyrians coming to them so that they turned back to God. Hezekiah was an amazing man. He was a man that whose father had built all kinds of idols. His father Ahaz was a very wicked, evil man. He went to Syria and got their false gods, brought them back, set up temples throughout Israel, or throughout Judah rather, to these false gods, and even began to worship idols in the temple, the holy place. When Hezekiah came to reign completely without being under the authority of his father, one of the first things he did is he began to go throughout the land of Israel, tear down the false idols, the false places of worship. He cleaned the temple out, and he demanded that the priests go out and cleanse themselves so that they could offer proper sacrifice to the Lord and not be defiled when they did it. But yet Hezekiah finds himself facing Sennacherib and his army. In the lesson this morning, we saw that the one thing that they needed to do, as God had Isaiah on the scene, is Hezekiah sent and said, asked Isaiah, what shall we do? And Isaiah said, pray. Pray and trust in God. You know, we live in an age where you can hear all kinds of messages being brought in the name of Christ. But how do you know what's real and what's not? One of the amazing things that Sennacherib's right-hand guy, Rabshakeh, told the Jews that were on the walls of Jerusalem listening to him blasphemy the Lord, as he said, God has sent me to conquer you. God has sent me. Your Lord has sent me, so he's not going to deliver you. You know, there's many people today that are telling you about false gods, false Jesuses, and false deliverances that have nothing to do with this word and nothing to do with the reality of situations. Peter is telling us, who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? I was talking to some of you, and I said, you know, one of the things that I think that the church is missing greatly today is discernment. You see, we as Christians are supposed to have a spirit of discernment where we can discern good from evil, right from wrong. But yet it seems more and more evil is creeping into the church. And then as one looks at world events like what is happening in Israel today, You actually have Christians that would say, we should be supporting Hamas. We should be supporting Hezbollah. We should be supporting Iran, which says, kill every Jew and run them into the ocean. Where is our discernment? I believe part of it is we don't have God's Word in our hearts. If we had God's Word in our hearts, we would understand what the prophets have said about the last days, and we would see the events transpiring around us, and we would see that we should be looking for the second return of Jesus Christ for His church. Because He said the greatest thing that you will see is not wars and rumors of wars, and we're seeing those all over. And it's not pestilence and famines. We've seen those and are seeing them more. They're predicting there's going to be famine throughout the world in the coming in 2024 and 25 could have be the greatest famines we've ever seen. Changes in weather. But He said the greatest thing was going to be false teaching and apostasy in the church. What's apostasy? Apostasy is when one has a knowledge of the truth, but they fall away from that because they never embraced the truth and made it a part of their heart. Peter's talking about that here. He opens up, and we went over this a little bit last week, so we won't spend a lot of time on the first verses, the last couple of weeks, where he talked about what had happened and that these characteristics of leaders that had come in and said that they were of God, that they walk after the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and despise government. That is, they despise authority. And they really despise the authority of God. You can say the right words and despise the authority that you say you're saying the words to. Rabshakeh, that right-hand guy of Sennacherib, referred to the Lord and said he was doing the will of the Lord, yet he despised everything that God stood for and would never, ever seek to do God's will. Ever. Even though God took them by the hook and they did God's will when God wanted them. But you see, what we're called to do is not to despise the authority of the Lord, but to seek the authority of God and make God's authority the authority in our life. Another interesting thing that I'm not going to spend a lot of time developing because I want to get back down to the verse 15, but it also says in verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. How can you speak evil and say that you're identify as a Christian? First of all, they are Christian in word only. They are not real believers. They're false teachers. Their whole deal is they are working for the adversary as his, if you would, undercover agents to deceive the church. And it says here that they're corrupt. And it manifests itself in many ways. They preach one thing and do another. You're seeing all kinds of false teachers and coming in the name of Christ. And I was talking to somebody and they had mentioned that the town they were from and the city they were from in America, they said, wow, we got about some of the biggest false ministries in the country. One of the ministers down there is always constantly begging for money. He flies around and he's got, I think it's more than one private jet. And they're not just little tiny private jets. They are top of the line private jets. But he preaches a different gospel and a different Jesus. But he's got literally thousands of people hoodwinked. And they think he's real. But he's filled with adulteries. And he's filled with the world. His jets and his position and his money is more important to him than truth. But yet he says, send money my way because I've got the truth. Well, Peter tells us of another guy like that. And you find him in verse 15. And having forsaken the right way, they are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Who is Balaam, the son of Beor? He was of the tribe of Midian. Midianites were those, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, was a Midianite. They had known the truth. Balaam knew the truth, but willfully chose to abandon the truth for the things of this world. And the main thing that he was doing is the king of Moab had called him because he knew that he was a prophet. And he called him and said, I want to hire you to curse Israel. Now, it's interesting. Why would Moab even want to curse Israel? You look at the people that came against Israel, oftentimes were Moab, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, what a God. There were three people he said, do not go in and take their land. As a matter of fact, if they don't want you to, you don't even go near their land. You go around their land. Know who those were? The Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. The Edomites were the descendants of Esau. The Moabites and the Ammonites were the descendants of Lot. God said, leave them alone. But as Israel obeyed the Lord, they did everything in their power to destroy Israel. The Edomites, on one occasion, when Israel was under attack and they were fleeing out of Jerusalem south to the land of Edom, the Edomites sent their soldiers and their warriors to drive them back into captivity and to see them killed. The Moabites and the Ammonites, on more than one occasion, had united with other enemies of Israel to fight against Israel. And now, the king of Moab wants Balaam to curse Israel. What's Israel done to them? Nothing. You see, the spirit of Satan, when he manifests in when it manifests itself in the lives of people, they do that which is totally illogical. I just want to give you a little bit of what's happening in the on the Gaza Strip, because you will not get the right things if you're listening to the news. Israel shut off the electricity and water to Gaza. They have now put it back on to southern Gaza to entice the people to move that way as well. But they said, most people don't know, Hamas has a whole string of tunnels and cities and armaments underground, and they bring them up and they shoot them out of hospitals and schools in Gaza. Israel is going in and they're going to clean it all out. But what you don't understand is Israel used to have settlements in Gaza. Israel had these amazing plants in Gaza where they would grow vegetation. They had plants where things were produced. And under Sharon's leadership, they gave Gaza back to the Palestinians. So there is no really group called the Palestinians. They're various Arab tribes, and some of them aren't even Arabs. Some of them come from Pakistan. They come from many different places. The Palestinian people are a non-people. It's a group of people that was given a name. But as that is happening, Israel left all of that there for them. When Israel pulled out, they left the infrastructure and everything. Know what the Hamas did? They immediately destroyed it all. Then they called in Israel and said, come back and rebuild it. We don't have electricity. You need to supply us with electricity. They left them the ability to produce their own electricity. But they destroyed it. This is what's going on. These people hate Israel when Israel does things for them. You don't hear on the news that many of the people in Gaza have work passes to come into Western Israel to work and could do that on a daily basis. If you listen to the news, all of Israel is taking their land, and who's the land? It belongs to God, and God has given it to Israel. Now, back to Balaam. Israel had done nothing to Moab. Why should Moab want to curse Israel? Because they're motivated by Satan. I want you to understand, we talked a little bit, I believe it was last week, about spiritual eyes and physical eyes. You need to have spiritual eyes, and the way that you have spiritual eyes is knowing God's Word. And you begin to see world events through God's Word, and it gives you a whole different perspective. And I want you to know that God is still in control. But you need to be on God's side, and you need to be hearing God's people. There are many people like Balaam today. They want to curse Israel for money. You see, right now in the world, if I want to bless Israel, I'm going to be on the wrong side in many people's position. And it's also interesting to see what's happening around the world. In Europe right now, there are mass riots, and they are riots in some of the major cities on behalf of Hamas. There are peaceful demonstrations on behalf of Israel. There are two different spirits motivating two different groups of people. Balaam was listening to the lusts of his flesh, and so he wanted to take this money, and he actually went and took the money, so he's going to go and curse Israel. And when he went to curse Israel, God would only allow blessings to come out of his mouth. Balaam could not curse them. He could only bless them. Initially, we have the account when he was initially going on his way to curse Israel, the Lord sent an angel with a sword to kill Balaam. And Balaam was riding on his donkey. And his donkey could see the angel, but Balaam couldn't. And so his donkey sat down and wouldn't move. And Balaam is beating the donkey. Balaam is being as mean as he could to the donkey, trying to get this thing to move. Finally, God allows the donkey to speak, and the donkey tells him what he's going to do. If I move, you're dead. And the reason you're dead is because of what you're doing. You're cursing that which God loves. Peter says, these false teachers are like Balaam. They will say whatever they have to say so they can make a buck. I listened to I can't remember the man's name now. He was a famous speaker back in the Christian speaker on Christian tours back in the 80s. And they thought he had a dead mic and he was talking to somebody about why he did what he did. But he had a live mic. And he said, this is the best job in the world. These people are so gullible. They just send me all the money and all I got to do is speak. He had no heart for God. He was a Balaam. And you know what? It didn't matter what he said either. Whatever the people wanted to hear, that's what he'd say. But not only that, he goes on, he says, these false teachers, when they speak with great swelling words of vanity. Now that's it's an oxymoron in that sentence. They've got great swelling words, but they're empty. They mean nothing. You see, if you're speaking the truth, that has content. When you're speaking lies, it has no meaning or purpose, and it will lead to nothing good. But he doesn't stop there. He says, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, he's saying they go around trying to seek to capture people and to ensnare them into their lies and to cause them to come in and be captivated. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of them a man is overcome of the same as is he brought in bondage. If you preach a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different word of God, you have no way to set men free. It is only through the blood of Christ, it is only through the word of God, and it's only through understanding the full counsel of God and His plan from the Garden of Eden until the second coming of Christ, and realize He will do His will and it will be accomplished, and only those that trust in Him and receive the gift of salvation that He has laid out will be saved. Otherwise, you're lost. The sad thing is, Satan has got much of the world duped. It breaks my heart to see not only innocent young people in Israel killed, but to see men that have been so lied to that they are willing to go to their death and they are willing to kill whoever they will have to kill because they're told that they can get to paradise that way, and when they get there they'll have 70 virgins. That's pure lust. They're lied to. And to think that there are Christians in name only who are lying to Christians to get them to not follow God and trust in Him. I just want to jump down, because we're running out of time, to the last. It says here, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Does this mean that people can lose their salvation? The answer is no. This is not talking about a saved man. It's talking about someone who's been brought into and experienced the message of the gospel, has even sat under its teaching. I want to give you a case of one of the biggest problems in the Middle East today is because of Islam. But did you know that Muhammad went to Christians and went to Jews? That Muhammad actually heard the gospel, but abandoned it for his own made-up religion that Satan had inspired him with, because he said he got it in dreams. And it's the antithesis to Christianity. And he's a prime example of one who was introduced to Christianity, rejected Christianity, and now he is so far off base, and he's literally led millions into hell. It's interesting because Peter closes this little paragraph with verse 22, but it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. The two animals that Peter gave are unclean in Judaism. When God gave the law to the Jews on what they were to eat, dogs were viewed as unclean. Pigs are unclean. And he said, if you've ever had a dog, they do that. It's exactly what Peter said. They will throw up, and then they'll go back and eat their own throw up. And a pig, you can wash a pig clean. You can put little ribbons on its tail and a little bow around its ears, and you can make it all nice, and then you put it out in your yard, and if there's a mud pile, you know where it head for first? The mud pile. Why? Because of their character. Their character had not been transformed. These are not believers he's talking about. They are false teachers who pretend to be believers. But there's coming a day where the pretending will be removed and they'll actually be in a worse state than they were before they were introduced to Jesus. Agrippa, introduced to Jesus, but didn't accept him. Others heard Jesus speak, but turned and walked away and said, these words are too hard. What is the lesson in this for us? I've kind of been all over the place talking about current events and biblical events and trying to tie it into this, but the real lesson for us is, do you walk with Jesus? Do you have a discerning heart? Because I want to tell you, in the next days, you better get your discernment ears on. Because with world events, you can be led down some big rabbit holes that'll take you far away from God's Word. And many of them will say they're Christians. You need to have a discerning heart. You need to be like a Berean, that no matter what the credentials of the person speaking the word, you go home and compare what he said to this book. And if it doesn't line up, if it says, God's done with the Jews, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says one of the last people God's going to deal with is the Jews. And that in one day, the remnant of Israel, a third of Israel that is left alive physically, will look upon Him whom they pierced, and they will acknowledge He's their Messiah, and they will give their hearts to Christ. He's not done with the Jews. He's not done with anybody in this world because He wants us to take the gospel to all the corners of the earth. The problem is, people are done with God. And the choices are drastic. Follow Christ, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, new creature, new way of seeing, discerning heart. Reject Jesus, even though I may name the name of Jesus, but I reject what all of these says, and I am on my way to hell. Jesus put it real blunt. There's two roads. Broad is the way, and many are upon it, leading to eternal damnation. But narrow and straight is the way, and few there be that find it, but it leads to eternal life. We need to ask ourselves, do I believe this? Do I believe what Jesus said? Do I believe this book? Do I believe when Peter says, I need to have a discerning heart because there's going to come false teachers, and these guys are so slick and so... that apart from this word, I can't discern, but God does. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand and have hearts of discernment based upon Your word. Lord, that we wouldn't get caught up in the things of this world and the lies of that are perpetrated throughout it by Satan to ensnare a world and to try and wage one final war against You. But Lord, You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the Great and Mighty One. And Lord, help us to realize when we give our life to You, You can take care of us. And You can give us an understanding and a discerning heart where we can know the truth from the lies around us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to 560.